You're listening to Small and Mighty Conversations, a podcast celebrating and supporting the small business owner and creative entrepreneur. With your host, me, Sam Burgess. You're listening to Season 4, Episode 6. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Small and Mighty Conversations. Today, I am chatting with Kate Greenhouse, the founder of A Year of Dates, a fantastic, innovative business where you have a box with little envelopes in it with things to do, either as a couple, as a new parent, or even as a single person, because they've recently launched a new box called Just For You, which is fantastic. And Kate very kindly sent me one of their boxes, and I have been working my way through each of the dates, and they've been really fab. And I'm going to try and share some of them over on my social as well, so that you can see me doing the dates, because they are self-care dates for me as a newly single woman. I am not going to bang on too much in this week's episode and hand it straight over to Kate, and I hope you enjoy today's show. As always, I love to see where you are listening to Small and Mighty Conversations, so don't forget to take a photo, either screenshot you the episode on your phone or take a photo of where you're listening to it and tag me on Instagram at Sam Burgess UK and use the hashtag Small and Mighty Business so that I can share your posts. But enough from me, on with the show. Hi, Kate. Welcome to Small and Mighty Conversations.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Ah, you are so welcome. I'd like to kick off, like I do every show, by getting you to introduce yourself and your business and kind of letting us know how you kind of ended up doing what you do.
Okay. Yeah, it's my business is called A Year of Dates. We've started in September 2016 while I was on maternity leave and looking for a bit of a project. But the way the business came about was actually quite interesting. My husband, John, bought me a date jar for Christmas. I think it was 2014. It was a glass jar filled with sealed envelopes, and each one had a date idea inside it. And it was something that we had to try and complete that week. So it could have been going out for dinner. It could have been making a playlist together, baking, cooking each other a candle at dinner. There was over 70 envelopes in the jar. And I opened an envelope each Monday, and then we had that week to go on a date and just spend a bit of time together, which was something we weren't doing considering we lived together, because just work and life in general gets in the way sometimes. So it was a really great way of focusing our attention on each other and spending a bit of time together. And so many people that I spoke to about this jar then said, oh, that's a really great idea. I wish I had the time or the ideas. And it just dawned on me one day that I actually did have the ideas and the time while I was on maternity leave, and thought we'd give it a go and see what happened. And here we are 2.5 years later.
That's lovely. I love that. What a very thoughtful gift as well. To, you know, it's one of those things, you can buy somebody something like a thing, but to have, you know, doing and experiences and stuff like that, that's so lovely. And did you do all of them?
I have to admit that the jar is still on our bedroom shelf, probably half full. We found out a few weeks later, a few weeks after Christmas, that I was actually pregnant.
Oh.
So we carried on doing it for a while, and I started blogging about it. The very first envelope I pulled out of the jar was buy each other a £10 gift. Now, it was a week after Christmas. John had just given me this amazing jar, really thoughtful present. And suddenly a week later, I had to buy him a £10 gift. And it was such a hard thing to come up with. And neither of us now can remember what I bought him. But for the £10, he bought me the domain name, ayearofdates.co.uk, because I wanted to blog about it. And I mean, that's where this whole thing's come from, really. We still use that domain name now. So it's great. But yeah, the jar is probably still half full, sat on the shelf, while we make date boxes and jars for other people.
Well, you've got all your own ideas for dates now. You don't need to pull them out the jar by the sound
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. But we do really need to, because obviously we now both work in the business together full time. But actually, we do need to make time to go on dates now, because this is just taking over our lives at the moment, which is great. But we really need to like practice what we preach and actually go on a date every now and again.
Oh, I love that. So tell me how. So you obviously realised that, you know, you could do this. You came up with the ideas. You'd obviously started the blog. So talk us through what kind of that preparation looked like for actually setting up your business.
It just I don't like to say it just happened, but we started very small. We decided to use some of our savings to buy some of the glass jars that were the same as the ones that John had bought me. And I'm a graphic designer I'd say training, but that's what I was doing before. Mm-hmm. I had my daughter. So I had the contacts and the printers and people and the knowledge, I suppose, to do that. So I designed some cards, researched envelopes, and we bought enough stock to do 100 jars, basically. And I thought I'd be standing at craft fairs, makers mm-hmm. markets in the run up to Christmas and selling them myself in person. But actually, we then decided to get a branded box, which mm-hmm. had our logo on the top, which we thought would just be easier for posting if people did buy them online. And it was when this had just been printed that I went along to a pitch-up session with Not on the High Street, mm-hmm. and he accepted the idea, loved the date box, and it kind of snowballed from there, really. The 100 boxes that I'd bought in September, we'd sold them by Christmas. I was hurriedly trying to buy more boxes and get more boxes quickly printed that we could then use, because Valentine's Day was coming and Not on the High Street saw it as a great potential for Valentine's Day. I also started a part-time job, so I was doing this in my spare time. Mm-hmm. It did snowball very quickly, and it was because of Not on the High Street, and we very quickly dropped the idea of doing markets and standing in the cold on a Saturday and just focused online, and changed the blog website to become an e-commerce platform instead.
Fabulous. And did you do that all quite quickly? Because obviously Not is obviously a platform for you to sell on. So were you selling through Not on the High Street and through your own website?
Yeah, it started off, it was very much Not on the High Street. I'd say 95% of our sales were Not on the High Street. They then asked me, it did start very quickly. That was the September, end of September that I went and met them. So we were live on there at the beginning of October. And they asked me to be in their Valentine's Day promotion, which started in the January. And I remember one of the questions was, how many orders a day can you handle? And at the time I said, oh, 6 or 7, because that seemed a lot to me at the time. And I think one day I got 76 orders. So we very quickly had to scale up the production. I say that we had to draft in in-laws, sisters, brothers, anybody who could come and stuff envelopes for us. Because the thing is, each order has 52 sealed envelopes in it. So you have to put the card in there and seal the envelope. So suddenly we were faced with a lot of envelopes that needed stuffing and getting out the door in time for Valentine's Day. So I'd say baptism by fire would be how I'd describe it.
What was your kind of biggest lesson during that?
I guess to let other people help. I mean, it's still something I struggle with now. I like to do everything myself, and it's taken a long time to realise that I can't do it all myself and get everything done. We've added more products. The great thing about Valentine's Day was it obviously gave us some more capital, which we could then invest in new ideas. So very quickly we then launched 30 things to do when you're 30 and 40 things to do when you're 40.
Fantastic.
On the back of that, and we paid back our savings. So within the first 6 months, we'd managed to do all of that, which we did not see coming at all, really. That was brilliant. I think, like I say, getting people to help was a big lesson, and letting people help rather than me saying it has to be done this exact way. I was shuffling every set of cards so that the coloured envelopes were all a nice mixture. And I think John watched me one day and said, "What are you doing? You've just spent 2 minutes shuffling that pack of cards. You've got 50 orders to do. What are you doing? Just put them in the box." So it was things like that that made me realise that actually once the lid was on the box and the postman threw it around a bit, then actually me arranging the cards in a nice fan shape didn't really make any difference to anybody because they didn't arrive anything like that. So yeah, we've streamlined a lot now, and I went full-time on the business last April, so it just over 12 months ago now.
Yeah.
In order to grow it and be able to meet the demand, really.
What was it that made you kind of feel that the business was ready to support you leaving your part-time job and going full-time on the business? Was it about, the fact that you were making sufficient profit to be able to support you, or was it just that you knew you needed to put your attention onto it, or both?
A little bit of both. Definitely the attention, because there was a lot of events that I wanted to go to and courses I wanted to go on. Mm-hmm. And because I was working half days, in my part-time job and then doing the business in the afternoon, I either had to take holiday if I wanted to go to a networking event, or I had to miss out on things because everything started at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning and I was at work. So it did enable me to really focus and really grow, and it has worked. I've joined Business Growth Hub, I've joined the Chamber of Commerce, and it just helped get out there and spread the word and meet more people.
Amazing. Yeah, I think that is something that, you know, I know a lot of people who have kind of what they call side hustles struggle with, because you do need to get out there and you do need to network and you do need to meet people, and they are on weekdays, and unfortunately they don't really work if you are working like full time in another job as well, or even part time, like doing half days. That creates quite an issue as well. So yeah, I think that's quite a big thing, that people kind of have to take that risk of, I'm gonna have to leave the full time job in order to actually scale my business, because I'm being held back from scaling up my business because of the full time job. And it is a very difficult decision to reach, but it is essentially one that I think most businesses end up having to do.
Yeah, it was a very difficult decision, and it was a big risk. We were lucky as well that obviously John was employed. He had a salary coming in, so we knew that we could pay the mortgage. I mean, we work out of our home at the moment. Our front room is the office. Our spare bedroom is storeroom. So we knew we had to be able to cover the bills. But actually, the other decision we've just made, and as of last week, John now is also employed by A Year of Dates. So we're both in it together now, which, like, that was a much bigger decision because of the mortgage, the bills, everything else that we have to do. So that was a really big decision. But again, it felt right. And I think the thing that clarified it for us was when we told our parents what we were planning on doing, and they all thought it was a brilliant idea and supported us. None of them kind of said, oh, are you sure about that? and the fact that the other people have the confidence in the business that it's going to grow and succeed, I think really helped us know that we were making the right decision. So it's very much now all hands on A Year of Dates. Like I say, he left his job last week, so I think he's still slightly in holiday mode at the moment. It doesn't really feel real to either of us yet that he's not driving to the office every day. And especially our daughter, who's 3 and a half, she keeps saying, well, are you going to work now, Daddy? And he's like, I am at work. So it's going to be interesting for the next few weeks, I think, but it feels like the right thing to do.
And I have to say, you know, a business that's all about dates, I think it makes sense to have a husband and wife team running it. It just, it fits, it feels right.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, he does, and a lot of the ideas, he does like to remind me a lot that it was all his idea, and because of this present of a jar of dates that this was all happening, which on a good day is fine, but when I'm having a bad day, it's all his fault and not in a good way.
You've never given me that bloody jar. I'd never have started this business. It's all your fault.
We could have had a holiday. a lot of this wouldn't happen without John. He drives the technical side of things very much. We wouldn't have an e-commerce website without John. He has an IT background and he's taught himself a lot of the things we've needed. And if I say things like, oh, it'd be really helpful if we could have this highlighted on an order, then 10 minutes later, you can guarantee that it will be highlighted on an order and everything will have changed. So we work well together, and we balance each other out a lot. I just need to be slightly less of a perfectionist.
I think that's almost impossible when a business is your baby. I think, you know, as much as we want to try and let things go, and we know we have to let things go, I think there is an element where perfectionism kind of has to be a part of it, because we're so proud of what we have achieved and we want to continue that standard, that I think, you know, it is important that to a certain extent that perfectionism kind of has to remain. Otherwise things can get a bit sloppy, and nobody wants that when it's their business.
No, definitely. But I think from my point of view, it's almost to the point where, you know, when we're building the packing boxes, I like the tape to go in a certain direction. John always says, does it actually matter? But it's just the way I've always done things. Yeah. So we've just started being able to do personalised boxes. We invested in a printer that allows us to foil print onto boxes. And we've literally just launched these in the last week or so. And again, this morning, John shouted me from upstairs and said, do you want to look at this, the layout of this box before I press print? And I was like, yes, don't
obviously.
You dare think anything without me seeing it. So, and he said, oh, right. And then I changed things and he just said, I wish I'd just pressed print and not told you about it. And I was like, well, No, don't ever do that. So yeah, we're still learning and we're always adding new things to the range and trying to keep things moving really and just be able to offer more to people.
So at the moment you have three main products, is that right? So you've got the Year of Dates, the 30 Things for 30 and 40 Things for 40. Is there anything else in the range?
Yeah, we've expanded quite a lot in the last year or so. We added 50 Things to Do When You're 50 because people kept saying, and as soon as we added 50, they started saying, do you do a 60? And I had to say, no, we'd have to draw the line somewhere. I think those three will be fine. But again, with the personalised printer that we've now got, we're looking at doing just a generic birthday box, so it would be suitable for any age.
Love that.
So that's something that we'd like to be able to add. And it might be then that you could even say it's things to do when you are 52 or 21. You would be able to add your own age onto the box and have that printed. So that's something we're looking at. We do a new parent box, which we launched last year, which is, again, aimed at couples who've just had a baby or maybe as a baby shower gift, and just encouraging them to spend a bit of time with each other, because once a baby comes along, the first thing you forget about is each other, because you're so focused, and rightly so to a certain point, on this baby. But a lot of the dates in that box are things you can do either at home while the baby's asleep, or a day out where you can take the pram with you. And then there's five that are in silver envelopes which need a babysitter, so when the couple are ready, they've got the option to use those. But there's a lot less that involve them going out and spending lots of money on dinner or anything like that. It's all about things you can do at home and simple ideas that are just easy to achieve in an evening when the baby's in bed, or like I say, around nap time even. They seem to have gone down well. We also support a postnatal depression and anxiety charity with the sales of those as well. So that's been something really nice to get involved in. And percentage of each of the sales of those go to them to help families who are struggling.
Oh, that's lovely. I think that's such a fabulous idea, and even lovelier that there's a nice sentiment there in terms of supporting charity as well. I think that's really fabulous. That's such a lovely product, and I know many people that would benefit from that for certain. So tell me a little bit about marketing. Obviously you started in the September 2016, things moved quite quickly with you with Not on the High Street, and obviously sales took off, so I guess marketing took a bit of a back burner for you because Not on the High Street were essentially handling quite a lot of your marketing. How have you driven traffic to your own website, and also I guess out of those kind of key consumption periods like Christmas and Valentine's, what's your marketing look like?
It's very much Instagram based.
Okay.
I'll be honest, that seems to have been the platform that works really well for us, which is something again that I've taught myself. I do all of it myself. Like I said, I've got a graphic design background, so I create the visuals and all the wording and everything. I'd say Instagram is the main platform. We do quite a lot on Facebook, but we find through Instagram people share the dates that they go on, they take the cards with them, and a lot of them people do the marketing for me in that way, because they go out on the dates, they take the card, they'll take a lovely picture of themselves or the card in front of the afternoon tea that they're having or in front of the sunset that they're watching, and then they post that on Instagram and tag me in it, and it's a brilliant way of getting content for me and also getting the word out there.
Is that something you encourage them to do? Like, do you put like a card in with your parcels and stuff and ask them to do that? Or is it just something they happen to be doing anyway?
There is a card in the orders that's got our social media handles on there and the hashtag A Year of Dates to encourage people. But we don't specifically ask people to do it. We just find that a lot of people do it. They either tag me, my account in there, or they will use the hashtag. And I tend to search the hashtag quite often just to see who's out there and spot one of the cards, which is always exciting when that happens.
Oh, that's great. I think that's wonderful. Like, people have already thought, well, yeah, that's what I'm going to do with it, which is great. And that obviously creates loads of user generated content for you. So like you say, they're doing the marketing for you, which is the secret everybody needs to be doing with their businesses, is encouraging their customers to create the content for them.
You know, and it's just great. So on a day when I've not got necessarily a product to post, I can think, oh, I'll have a look what other people have been posting, what dates they've been on. The only thing is, a couple of people have said to me that obviously they're working their way through through the date boxes, and some people take it really seriously, and they have to open one every week, and they have to do the date that week, and there's no kind of cheating or picking another card because it doesn't fit in with what they're doing. They have to do it. And a few people have said, when I share pictures of the cards with the words on, they say, oh well, I know that's in my box now, I feel like you're ruining the surprise for me. But because they're sealed in envelopes, they don't know when they're going to pick that card. That's part of the surprise. So they might, and I don't show all the cards, there's 52 of them, so I don't show all the cards. There's still going to be surprises, but you have to balance it a little bit with people not wanting to know what's in, but having to show people what's in the envelope so that they get an idea of it. So it's always quite interesting when people say that to me.
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one, isn't it? It's getting that balance. Like, you've kind of got to market, you've got to give people an idea of what kind of dates you're offering in a year of dates, so that people know whether or not they want to kind of buy it. But then you also don't want to be spoiling it. I guess it's a bit like doing a review of a film. Like, you don't want to give away the twists, but you need to give enough information away to make someone want to go and watch it.
Definitely. And it is a hard balance. So it's just, I tend to not put too many of the cards on there, but then every so often I will do one, or I'll try and use just a certain amount of the cards so that some are saved, basically. But yeah, I think you're never going to see all my posts. We all know how the algorithm works.
Exactly.
And you're never going to see, unless you scroll through my entire feed, you probably still wouldn't then see every single card that's in there. And some of them have changed over the years as well. There were some that I wasn't too keen on that I thought of better things. And we ran a competition one year to say, what would you put in the date box? And then picked a few winners of the people who came up with things that we hadn't. A lot of people pick things that were already in the cards because they obviously didn't know what was on everything, but there was a few new ones, so they all won a prize, and then we added those into the box.
What a fab idea. Like, get other people to kind of come up with some new ideas for you. Do you have a favorite date? Like, which one of all of them is your favorite one, or is it one that perhaps you and John have done yourselves that you just think that's your favorite one?
Yeah, there's definitely a couple. I'd say Watch the Sunset is one of my favourites, because that is just my favourite time of day. Mm-hmm. And something I love to do. We're quite big fans of going to Ibiza and watching the sunsets. And John actually did propose to me at sunset as well. So quite special. And then I think the other one is go for afternoon tea, because that is just my favourite thing to do. And again, we actually had afternoon tea at our wedding rather than a meal. We did afternoon tea. So that was... those two are always good when they come up, and everyone else seems to enjoy those ones as well. The date cards themselves are a mixture of things you can do at home, nights out, days out. They're not all about going out at night and getting dressed up and spending lots of money. A lot of them you can do at home, because again, not just the new parent ones, just all the dates are a big mix of things that don't involve spending lots of money or having to get dressed up. You could do some of them in your pajamas when you get home from work if you want to, because it's real life. You have to kind of make it work for everybody.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's really kind of key. I'm recently single, and dating is expensive, going out all the time. So having things that you can do at home is great, because you don't have to get dressed and go up out every night. And of course, if you have kids as well, you know, that there's an extra expense there if you need to go out once a week, every week, to go out for a slap up meal or afternoon tea or something. You have to kind of think about that. So I think that's great. I love it.
It's the level of planning as well, because for us, we'd have to get a babysitter, you have to book them in advance, you have to work out where you're going to go, what time you'll be back, or it's just a lot more difficult. So there is actually a color-coded version of the dates, where anything in a blue envelope is something you can do at home, yellow is a night out, so you can plan ahead a little bit more. And it also works for people who maybe are budgeting, or it's not payday yet, so you don't want a big night out, you just want something you can do at home. So they are actually, they're our most popular box, the color-coded version. They've worked really well.
I love that. In terms of, you know, there's so much thought that's gone into it. Is that something that you started with, or has that come from like feedback from customers where you've adapted your product in order to fit, you know, having that color-coded system, having a mix of going out and going out and then just staying at home? Is that something you've had from the beginning, or have you kind of adapted that based on feedback?
The mix was always there, but they were just in random coloured envelopes, which is still an option. And then it was actually a friend of ours who said, oh, it'd be really good if you could colour code them. And it was one of those moments where we thought, oh, God, why didn't we think of that? That's a really good idea. And again, he's another person that still likes to remind us of that fact when we see him. It was all his idea. Mm. So, yeah, it has evolved over time and the way we do things, and we do respond to feedback. On the basis of that, our next product is actually going to be aimed at self-care and single people, essentially, or anybody who wants to look after themselves. Exactly. It's perfect. Because a lot of people, it's something we're quite conscious of, especially if you're pushing a new parent box around Mother's Day. Mm. Then I've got friends who are single parents and they don't have that option. And yeah. It just kind of, it hit me that I needed to market it to people as a product for Mother's Day to buy for your other half. But at the same time, I felt bad that I was kind of locking out this whole section of my audience potentially. And self-care is so massive at the moment. We've developed a box called A Year of You, or Just For You. So they're dates almost to do with yourself, but they're just activities, again, in envelopes that for you to do just to give yourself a bit of time out and just as a reminder really that you need to do that. So they're once a month, and they could be anything from, you know, turning off your phone and just having a night without technology to going out and buying a new book, whether it's a hobby or something to read. There's just lots of little ideas in there that are to help people remember to look after themselves, really.
I think that is fabulous. That's obviously now my favourite box.
To be fair, at the moment it's mine as well. I'm so excited. We're launching it in a couple of weeks and I'm just really excited to get it out there and just tell everyone about it, really.
Oh, I think that's great because, yeah, you know, we all need to look after ourselves. Well, whether you're in a relationship or you're not in a relationship, you know, it's a lovely gift for a friend or someone who's going through a difficult time or just someone maybe who works too bloody hard and needs to turn them off every now and then, because a lot of us are very guilty of always being on and go, go, go and thinking about everybody but themselves. So I think that's lovely, whether you're single or in a relationship, a single mum or not. I think it's great to have something like that.
Yeah, and it just fills, I guess, another gap in our product range, really, because everything, the birthday box is people buy for their friends or for a family member. They're not date specific, but a lot of it is, and we are called A Year of Dates, so it's getting that balance. But I think this really fills a gap in where we are and what we're offering. And the people who say, oh, my friend's 60, well, they could get this box for them. It doesn't matter, like you say, on their age or anything. It's a birthday or just because present, because someone's having a hard time or just needs that little reminder. So yeah, we're really excited about getting that one out there.
That's lovely. Is that going to support any charities?
That's something we're working on at the moment. I'm thinking about doing like a limited edition one, which may be a different coloured box, which could then support charities. But we have got other ideas in the pipeline, which we're working on, which will take a little bit longer to come to fruition, but they'll be definitely supporting charities as well.
Fabulous. Oh, I think that's fab. Talk me through whether or not you've had like any pinch yourself moments. I mean, obviously John joining the business probably was a bit of a pinch yourself moment, that you're both now running this business together full time. But has there been anything else where you've kind of had a little bit of a, oh, I can't believe that's happened?
There's probably a few, but I think us both being self-employed, I don't think we've even had that pinch me moment yet, because I don't think we've really realised. It kind of feels like he's just having a few days off work at the moment. I'm sure that time will come. I think it's when people either recognise me or recognise the brand and you start to tell people what you do and they say, oh yeah, I've seen that, or my friend's bought one of those. And then you start to realise kind of how far it reaches and how many people actually have heard of the business. Yeah. I was in a park with my daughter one day and a lady said to me, are you the envelope lady? which I had to say, I think so, yes. And I think I had a really great shout out last year, Gemma from Motherhood. I sent her a box and she did a brilliant set of Instagram stories going through the product and everything. And that was just really good to... It was great for business getting her, but also just kind of having her talk about it, and she's just got such a big following and she's such a big character on Instagram. and does such amazing things that just having her talking about it was brilliant. We've also managed to get a couple of magazine adverts and a magazine article recently as well, which again, opening a magazine and seeing a full page picture, well, a half page picture of ourselves and a full page article was quite a moment, really.
I can imagine. I mean, do you do your PR yourself or have you employed someone to support with PR for the business?
So yeah, we won business Startup Business of the Year at the Bolton Business Awards last September, and the magazine found that news online and rang us. So then they asked us if we could do an article about businesses in Bolton and include us. So the PR that we do kind of comes on the back of other things that we do, really. We don't specifically go out and engage with PR companies. It's just about, I write my own press releases, I get the pictures out there, and then just see what happens, really. It's something that we need to look at improving probably in the future, but for now, as we grow, it certainly seems to be working at the moment.
Fantastic. And I think that's just one of those things that, you know, I think a lot of people kind of put PR to the bottom of their list. They sort of just think, well, you know, I've got enough to do. Do you find that the PR that you have done yourself, like the magazine article, has that had any direct effect on business for you?
I don't think the magazine article has, in terms of sales, a bit like the award win, that didn't either. Yeah. But then it's out there now, and Lancashire Life is one of those magazines that will be around for a long time. It's in hotels, it's in shops, it's in coffee shops, it's in doctors' surgeries. So that article now will be out for a long time. And as much as it didn't necessarily affect sales on the day it came out, it will affect our brand reach and just people knowing about us and reaching a different audience. So I tend to say yes to a lot of these things at the moment. I'm hosting networking events. I'm hosting a mentoring circle. And when I was asked to do that, I had no idea what it even meant. And I did feel out of my depth. But I think if you don't say yes to things, then you don't know what the opportunities are that you could get from it. So that's definitely our philosophy at the moment, is just say yes and get out there and try it and see what happens.
Absolutely. I think that's the right attitude to have. I mean, the mentoring circle, where's that come about from?
Oh, it's a Facebook group that I'm in called The Career Mum, who's a lady who used to work at Shell. Mm-hmm. And it's a Facebook community. And I actually know from a long, long time ago, going back 20 years probably, one of the guys who's the admin on it. So he just asked me if I'd like to be involved in the Manchester one that he was setting up. And actually, John came with me to it. And a lot of the people were from a very corporate background. And it was people who were saying, oh, you know, I've been made redundant from this job, I'm not sure where to go. And John comes from a bit more of a corporate background from me. So he was actually brilliant at it. He was able to really get involved and make suggestions for people, whereas I was to a certain extent, but my corporate knowledge isn't anywhere near as good as his and his IT background. So it was a really good thing to be involved in, and I'm still going to be involved in them, but with the support of hopefully John and a couple of other people as well, so we can all cover different aspects.
Fantastic. I love it. I think that sounds great. I just want to jump back. You mentioned before about sending out a box for influencer marketing. Is that part of your marketing strategy? Do you do a lot of influencer marketing?
I don't think I'd say we do a lot. I spend a lot of time scrolling through Instagram, as I'm sure we all do.
We all do, yeah. But
a lot, and when I see someone who says, oh, me and my husband, we're like ships in the night, we don't see each other, we get home from work, we deal with the kids, we never go out on dates, then when I see posts like that, I'll get involved and try and get a box to them and then say, well, look, this can help you. Again, it's not all about going out. You don't have to make time for booking a table and plan ahead that much. You can do stuff at home and just try and get that message across, really. So it's definitely something that works from an instant point of view in terms of sales. It's amazing. But I'd say it wasn't really a planned marketing method. It's more of a, I see something, I think they need one, and I make contact. So it's more kind of in the moment, really, I'd say.
Yeah, it's a bit more organic in that you kind of connect with somebody and think, yep, they would really benefit, rather than writing a list of like the top 10 most influential bloggers, etc., on Instagram, and then sending them all a box with a press release and telling them what to talk about, type thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's much more. I mean, I sent the box to Gemma from Motherhood in July last year because her and her husband had had a very rare date night. So I kind of jumped on that and sent it to her. And it wasn't till November that she actually talked about it. And we had been in contact in between and she said, "Don't worry, I've not forgotten you. I am going to do it." But it was actually November when she did. So there's a lot of waiting around as well. But when it does happen, it's brilliant for sales. And sometimes John will say to me, if we've had a busy day on the website, I say, "What have you done today?" And I'm like, it wasn't me. I don't know. Then I have to go back and try and find where. And sometimes we never do work out what's happened. But there's normally some event that you can take it back to where someone's mentioned us or someone's shared one of their pictures. So it's but he's started to get it now. At first he just kept saying, "What are you doing? Why are you still sat there on your phone?" But now he understands how it can have such a big effect. Yeah, definitely. And with the Year of You box, with Mental Health Week, the plan is to send some out to people there, and maybe with a bit of a note to say if you could talk about this during this week, and just to try and get it, that's be part of the launch project. So that is a slightly more planned attack, I suppose, but that's something that now John's in the business, I'm having a bit more time to be able to do, because there's two of us to manage everything. He can box the orders up and get that day's orders sorted while I'm either out at an event or working on a strategy to get these mm-hmm. boxes launched and the photography for them and all mm-hmm. those kind of things that come. So whereas before I'd have been trying to do all of that at the same time and normally get halfway through packing up boxes and think, "Oh, I could just take a photograph of this," and run off to do it and get distracted for 2 hours. So yeah, it should make life a lot easier.
You can be a bit more structured now and kind of actually kind of make a plan for things and execute it. Although, you know, I think to a certain extent, even though when we make those plans, we still get distracted and go off on a tangent.
Definitely. But there might be somebody there to say, "What are you doing? Come back."
Why aren't you supposed to be doing this today? Why are you doing that? Like, yeah, good point. I need to get back to it. Yeah, sometimes I do need people to rein me in. I could definitely benefit from that. So tell me, what is your kind of big, scary ambition for your business? Do you have a big ambition for your business, or is it more just that you want to have a comfortable lifestyle business, or do you have kind of a big vision?
I don't think we necessarily have a big vision. Property is going to be something, or premises mm-hmm. for the our stock is going to be something we need to talk about. We are talking about, but something we need to look at in the next 12 months, because like I say, our spare room is just full of boxes. Our garage will be full of boxes when the roof's fixed. The front room is an office and we're both in there now, and every product we buy comes with boxes, it comes with cards, it needs different envelopes.
It's a lot of components.
And they all take up a lot of space, so we definitely will need to look at premises. I think for us, that'll be the next thing. And then maybe even staff, that'll be the thing after that. We became a limited company this year, so that was a big step. Mm-hmm. And I know from other people you've spoken to, we hit that VAT threshold as well. So we've had to become VAT registered. So they're all quite big things that we knew were coming. But for us, I think it's about lifestyle, definitely, at the moment, and having time to both of us be able to pick our daughter up from nursery when she starts school, being able to be at the gates to meet her rather than me just doing it all. And just, I think for me, the biggest thing will be next Valentine's Day, if we can have a Valentine's Day without me having a huge panic breakdown because there's too many orders, then that would be a huge achievement, because every year I just think, "Oh, I can do this, we can do this, it's fine." And then the orders come in, and because John knew he was leaving this year, he was a lot more like, "No, you can't go out of stock, no, we have to keep going." And I think we had 750 orders in at one point. And I was still silently panicking, even though everyone kept telling me it'd be fine. So I think having a Valentine's Day where we're ready, we're organized,
yeah,
and we always think we're organized and then something happens. Like this year we thought we'd have the whole of January where it'd be quiet to get ready, and January just was crazy. It didn't stop from Christmas, we just didn't get any break. So by the time Valentine's Day actually hit, we were still behind on the orders that we were trying to get out from a few weeks earlier. So I think for me, the big thing would be having a Valentine's Day where it runs smoothly, everything is ready. Then I can move on to the next thing, I think. But definitely be a big thing for me.
Why do you think you were so busy in January? Do you think with people just being super prepared for Valentine's, or did you have something that happened that kind of kept the momentum going between Christmas and Valentine's?
There was nothing that we could work out. The only thing we could think is that we had a busy Christmas, so a lot of people gave them as gifts or received them as gifts and therefore talked about it. So I think word of mouth definitely helped. And I think some people were starting to think about Valentine's Day. But we were averaging about 40 orders a day all the way through January, which was just amazing. But it didn't give us any time to prepare and get the stock ready that we'd planned for Valentine's Day. And I just like to blindly carry on. And it was John who was like, said, well, if this happens, you're going to need over 1,000 boxes between now and February. And I said, well, I haven't got 1,000 boxes. He said, right, well, we need to get sorted then. And I would just blindly have carried on. But
it sounds like John joining the business is a really good thing.
definitely. He'd say, oh, how many colour-coded sets do we need? I was like, I don't know. I just need to get today's orders out of the way. I can't think about those. And he said, if you know how many you need all together. And I was like, yes, no, just leave me alone.
Oh, bless.
He's built a dashboard where we can see exactly the breakdown of orders that we need. And we actually have a lady who stuffs the envelopes for us now, and she's amazing. She's just like a machine. She's brilliant. So she sits at her house and stuffs all the cards into the envelopes for us. And when we kind of said to her, look, this is what we could need for the next month, her and her husband were just like, yeah, it's fine. Just send them over.
Fabulous. And I was there.
And that helps keep me calm as well, because I was thinking, oh, God, she's going to say I can't do this and quit or something. But she didn't. She just got on with it. And I think that helped keep me calm as well, because I thought, well, once she'd said that's fine, it just makes it that little bit more bearable. But we were doing about 3 trips to the post office every day. And, yeah, it was just chaos. So I'd like to be ready and organised for that 1 year. I say this every year, but that is my big goal at the moment. And then from there, we'll make a new plan.
Yeah, I think you've got the right attitude, and you've got, you know, plenty of time. You've got John on board now, so I have everything crossed for you that next Valentine's is slightly less hectic.
And you feel
same amount or more orders, but less stress. That's what we want.
Definitely, yeah. And I mean, it's like the room where we live, basically our living room, becomes just where all the boxes are. So like my daughter would come in the morning and say, look, mommy, that box is on the ceiling. And it, because the pile of packing boxes was that high, it had reached the ceiling whilst we were getting prepped for that day. That's the only thing she said. Then she just carried on with her day. She's like oblivious to it. But yeah, it's definitely takes a lot of preparation and organization, which is we will get better at, or yeah. I will get better.
It sounds like you will. I think it's one of those things, when you acknowledge something, then you are more likely to kind of do it and get on with it. It's like when you say, oh, I really don't want to end up like that or so and so or whatever, because you've acknowledged it, you're less likely for that to happen. So I think because you know what you need to do and you've got John on board, the chances are is that you will be settled and sorted for next Valentine's Day. I have everything crossed.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm already thinking about it. Now everyone else thinks about Christmas as their main market, and I'm already thinking, oh God, next Valentine's Day is
if you had one piece of advice for a future entrepreneur, what would it be?
I think I'd say start small. Just get what you can afford. Don't start taking out loans or pushing yourself too far. Just start small and gauge the reaction and go from there. I mean, we're lucky in the fact that ours is a product base, that we pay for the products and people buy them, it restocks itself basically. Mm-hmm. We're not waiting on invoices to be paid or anything like that, so it works well. But I think I'd say just don't put yourself in any risk to start it off until you know it's a strong idea. And even then, if you can, don't have a big risk, but start small.
Okay, I love that. I think that's good. I think it's important that, you know, you kind of think about what you're doing. I think some people do jump in too quick and think, right, I'm going to take out a big loan, I'm going to get premises, I'm going to get an investor, and they haven't even started yet and they don't even know if their idea is actually going to work. So I completely agree that starting small is a good idea. One other thing I was going to ask you, do you wholesale your product, or do you have any plans to wholesale any of the products in the future?
It is something that we're looking at the minute, because we're so busy with the orders, we never have the stock. I've sent a few larger orders out to other online sellers who then sell their products, sell my products with theirs or with other people's. It is something that we would like to look into. And it's something that we do talk about a lot. We've added SKUs now to the website, so we're getting kind of prepared for that. And we're looking at how we could add barcodes to the box and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's definitely something we're looking at. But whether it's in the next 12 or 18 months, I'm not sure yet. But it's talked about.
It's definitely something I could see. It's whether or not your business can obviously manage doing it, and obviously it takes preparation to be able to get there, but I could totally see your products, well, not all of them, obviously things that aren't too personalized, but I could definitely see them in like major retailers, especially around Valentine's Day. It's definitely, you've got a great product, and I could see people picking it up in like John Lewis. I could totally envisage that.
Thank you. Yeah, I like to think that when I walk around John Lewis where it would be. But one of the things is obviously when you sell online, you're able to describe the product and tell them what it is really clearly. So for us, it's getting that message across, and that's what we've always found when we have done market stalls or Christmas markets, is people walk past and go, oh, it's a box with a logo on it. And it's kind of being able to explain what it is to them quickly before they've walked off again. So we're looking at like a wrap that would go round the box that would explain the idea with a big message on it and that kind of thing. So it's that side of things that needs to be thought through, so that when it's on a shelf and you don't then get people just opening it up and opening the envelopes or something.
Yeah.
It's that side of things that we need to look at. And I've always had like a little description next to it on the shelf, but it's only been in small shops when it has been in a shop. And it was when I very first started out, I was in like a little pop-up shop. But people don't necessarily stop and read an A4 piece of paper with a whole description about how the business was formed on it. So that side of things needs a bit of thought. And like you say, it might not be all the products. Maybe start with the birthday boxes is what we've always said. Because they're a bit easier to explain. It's definitely on the cards, but probably not in the very near future.
It's definitely one of those things I can see, like having a belly band around it is definitely the option, because I think when you look at major retailers, if it say goes out to like a number of stores, it's very hard to police. And if you send out, having worked in retail, worked on shop floors and worked as an area manager, the amount of stores you go into and you're like, there's supposed to be an A5 point of sale next to that product. Oh, is there? I don't know where that is. You can't risk.
Imagine.
You need it to be on the product. Otherwise, you're trusting store staff to either knowledgeably talk about it or obviously remembering to put the point of sale next to it, which, I mean, in my experience.
Then it doesn't get knocked off and put somewhere else, picked up and put somewhere else. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something we talk about, but we're not quite there yet, I don't think.
That's exciting, though. It's nice to have kind of sort of things sort of in the pipeline, but in the distant pipeline, and just sort of thinking, yeah, that's an option. We'll get there. We've got other things to focus on right now, but that's definitely, you know, it's on the table. Amazing. Okay. So final question, whose story would you like to hear on Small and Mighty Conversations?
Well, I've got two, if that's okay. The first one is Claire Russell from Play Hooray, who she started at a similar time for me, and we actually worked together on a product called A Year of Play that we did together as a collaboration. And she's just gone from strength to strength, and what she does on Instagram is amazing. And the other is a lady called Heidi, who I've met recently, and she is selling metal straws, because with the whole plastic waste issue that's around, she is doing branded metal straws, and she only started in July 2018, I think it was, and she's already stocking hotels in Vegas and London, and she's just doing amazing things. And I think it's one of those pinch me moments where she doesn't quite realise yet what she's
Created.
Doing, but it's called Plastic Alternatives and The Last Straw.
Fantastic. I love a metal straw. I have a drawer of metal straws. I think they're great. And you can put them in the dishwasher, which is fantastic, which makes me very, very happy. Fabulous. Thank you so much. I will link in the show notes to both Heidi and Claire's businesses, and of course, link to A Year of Dates and all your social media handles so that everybody can come find you. But thank you so much, Kate, for joining me today on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. And thank you for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, and just telling us all about your business.
That's great. Thanks very much, Sam. I've enjoyed it.
And so that was my chat with Kate. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Small and Mighty Conversations. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode. But as always, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to tag me on Instagram and share the episode, as I'm sure lots of people will be wanting ideas of what to listen to over the summer. But I appreciate every single one of you that takes the time to rate and review on iTunes, and of course, those of you who share it on social. But until next time, keep pushing forward. Your next great success is just around the corner.